Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. 4Play, presented by Barstool Sports. We are live from Forest Dunes in Michigan. We just arrived within the last 20, 30 minutes. There's a lot going on right now. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
More for some than others.
Yeah, it's been a nightmare of a morning for me, personally.
Okay.
Do you want to go into it more deeply?
Do you want to go jump in right now?
Should we leave with that, you think?
Well, I don't know all the details of it because we rode in different cars on the way in. I rode with Jake and E-Bug, and you guys were all in a different car, and apparently you guys had a conversation that I was not privy to, but I think we're going to talk about it on today's show.
Look, this is a beautiful place, and I really want people to understand when we discuss this place that I don't want the conversation that's about to take part to kind of stain, if you will, no pun intended, the what we're looking at, right? Because it's gorgeous, and we're going to get into it. But it's also an honest show. We're very
100%.
This is a show about our lives.
We're very raw and real.
My honest take is you've got a new pair of shorts on.
I'm standing right now while everybody else is sitting during the podcast, almost like I have one of those standing desks, but it's not for that reason.
They say that extends your life.
Our guy, Dr. Sinclair, says that.
Yes, that's right.
Standing desk. Lurch, aren't you a standing desk kind of guy?
I am. I was. Now, home office, I don't have a standing desk.
But so, I think I have a tear in my rectum.
Oof.
We're getting right into it.
That's going to hurt the ears. You know, everybody just got belted with that.
They weren't sure what it was, and now they know.
I'm pretty positive that's the case.
You got a bloody asshole.
It's interesting, though, because prior to, you know, the 40-minute drive over here or whatever, you made mention of it, but when we were driving, you didn't make any mention of it. And now, since being here, been a complete issue because you've got a new pair of shorts on.
I started with a pair of pink shorts. That was a mistake today. And again, this is a raw show. If you don't like this part, you can fast forward. But what happened was Saturday, I woke up.
Raw.
And I noticed a just sort of an uncomfortable feeling inside of my bum.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a problem. It was like, it just sort of hurt at times when maybe I would use the restroom or something of that nature. But walking around and stuff, it was fine. No signs of anything. No visual signs of anything.
Okay.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, same exact symptoms. It was like, unless I was really feeling around there, maybe cleaning up after something, it didn't hurt a ton. It was a little uncomfortable, but it was fine. Woke up this morning, used the restroom, looked down, you know, toilet paper, and blood in the toilet and on the toilet paper.
Boy.
And I was like, well, no, that's not good. Same pains. Again, I could walk around fine like a normal human being. It doesn't really feel that bad. Played golf last night with Lurch, 18 holes.
Yeah.
Grand Traverse, great spot. Bear course. Not much issue. Wore my pair of pink shorts, so I was like, whatever. It's like, might hurt a little bit, but I'm fine. And my pink shorts look great with this blue shirt. Well, I'm telling you, when we got here, I went into the restroom to check on things. And, I mean, it was coming through my shorts. My shorts are, I have to throw them away.
And what's the benefit of standing?
I think if you sit, you open things up and just leak a little bit more.
Yeah, less disruption.
God.
It's that raw where just touching the ground.
I mean, do you need a diaper?
I don't know, but my thinking is, again, that like if I stand and clinch, it's less likely to be as much of a mess.
Does it hurt right now?
No.
Wow. It looks like it hurts.
You look like a statue. You're
right,
not
you look
moving.
Tight. You look very tight.
You look wound up.
Well said.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest, I don't know what to do. Like a cut, you can just like, you can put a Band-Aid on it and you're fine.
Not in your bum hole.
And I can't like get in there and search. It's like, it's just I don't know.
Your hoop is leaking.
I don't know what to do.
Man, we've been doing this show for 4 years and we've never, ever started a show quite like this.
I don't know what to do, if we're being honest with each other. Dude, I Googled it. It basically says, like, just get better in 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
But each time you relieve yourself, it's just going to keep cutting and tearing and getting worse.
It feels like
a
catch-me-if-you-can
right,
situation.
Like, it's in a much worse way, but it's like having a paper cut on one of the creases of your fingers. Because it just keeps opening up.
Except this time it's inside your asshole.
Right, it's different in a different spot.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know what to do. We just got to...
It's like, it's just a mess.
Yeah. People get it,
I think. Sorry, gang. Everybody out there.
I think you got to go to a doctor, dude, because it could be on the outside.
You know where we
inside.
Are right now? We're in the middle of fucking nowhere. A doctor? Is there a doctor playing
this
golf here?
This feels like an emergency.
Do you
want to
go
situation.
In the bathroom with me and we like?
I'm not going to look
after it.
No.
So I assume we're walking today because you can't cart.
Walk? I can walk.
Doesn't look from your posture right now that you're a walker.
I'm going to take a cart regardless of your bleeding asshole.
I appreciate that.
Same.
No worries.
Me too.
You're sitting next to him.
What?
You're sitting next to him.
You better watch your shorts.
You know what I mean?
I don't think it's a contagious thing.
Oh, it may bleed out onto his pants is my point.
Like, yeah, we'll be back. Hemorrhaging.
Get on the seat.
A
you guys
pool
change
of blood
seats.
Coming out the bottom
maybe
of your
he drives
body.
One
we
time.
We do
in your seat.
What's up, Doc? So if anybody's got anything for me.
If there's ever been an opportunity for What's Up, Doc, it's right now.
We've got like 5 days of awesome golf in front of us. We just arrived. And I mean, if this continues, I'm going to bleed out on the golf. I'm just not going to have it.
Right. I'm going to come back to the cart after chipping or putting, and Riggs is going to be passed out.
There just won't be any blood left in my body.
Wow.
So,
woo, any advice there? Like, do you take fiber out of your diet now? I guess you're barely eating.
It says
anymore,
you need to add fiber and water. Is what it
add
says.
Add fiber and water.
So it says don't eat
solid.
That seems like a torture.
Some bananas. Oh. You got to eat bananas.
This
maybe?
Was a super quick like Google search, but yeah, basically said drink a lot of water, get a lot of fiber. Don't eat like constipation foods.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that was pretty much it.
You got a nightmare next month and a half on your hands based on what this says.
I feel like I would eat constipation food.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look into it more.
Make it softer.
This just happened.
No,
I'm
just to lessen the number.
Oh, constipation food, right.
Right.
And we're sure, so this we're saying this is a cut. We're not sure that like you're bleeding inside.
I just gave you, but I don't think because it hurt for, like, I just wasn't bleeding for 4 or 5 days. It felt like there was a cut in there, and then all of a sudden it starts bleeding. I don't know. I will say it's light colored blood, which, from all my knowledge, is much healthier than, like, dark blood.
Okay.
Dark blood, you got to go to the hospital.
That could be coming from a really bad place. This is very light. I honestly think it's, like, a surface-level cut inside of my anus that just is really uncomfortable. That's my best diagnosis.
There's a lot of moments during this first 5 to 10 minutes where I just can't believe that it's happening. And that
we are on the most beautiful area of a golf course I've ever been at. We're overlooking what seems to be, you know, probably one of the best resorts in the country.
It's really nice.
Has to be. It's absolutely incredible.
Crazy nice lodging. We're looking at what I've seen to be one of the best clubhouses I've ever been to.
And it just smells like trees.
It smells like trees. Looks like just Mother Nature. Just
can't tell you how uncomfortable I've been since I got to this place.
And then it's just blood red now.
Oof.
Oof.
God.
It almost tastes pennies, you know?
What?
Like the blood taste?
Producer Jake Bass is about to throw up, which would be awesome.
Yeah, what's that?
That's like blood sort of tastes like pennies. I hope.
When do you put pennies in your mouth?
No. It's like the metal tasting.
Jake's gonna throw up.
It would be awesome if Jake threw up on his laptop.
Well, I mean, the difference
that would really just go
how
with
the three of us feel right now, and like the beauty that we're looking at, and Riggs is just trying to go moment to moment.
Let me tell you something right now.
My worst days of my life.
My whoop's at an 85. I had coffee. I woke up. I felt great. Mm-hmm. I still feel great.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing about Forest Dunes now is now we've made it the place where Riggs bled.
Oh.
All right? And people are going to come here and they're going to see. All right. They're going to look around. They're going to be like, this is the place that this guy's bumhole started leaking on him.
Mm-hmm.
What did you want me to do? Hide it?
No, you can't hide it.
You can't hide it when you change shorts. Actually, everybody saw you go into the locker room and everybody saw you in pink shorts. And there was some news that came out, was like, he's really dealing with something in there. And then when you came out in blue shorts, didn't say anything.
To get a bunch of Sherlock Holmes over here.
I even said, before we got into the car to do the trip over here, I was like, pink shorts is a little bit scary. Because those were beautiful, light Peter Millar shorts.
My outfit was awesome. Now I just look like a blueberry.
Right. I've been there.
Me too.
With a hint of,
hint of strawberry.
I go blueberry a lot.
Good color.
Which golf course are we playing today?
We're playing one of the loops. The red?
Red.
We're playing the red
that's loop.
Very fitting today.
The loop at Forest Dunes. Red. Man. Oh, no pun intended.
They didn't know.
Whoa.
Imagine we were supposed to play the blue and they
the hoopy
like,
loop.
They gotta play the
what
red.
I'm looking at right now in front of me is a little yardage book for the loop. And the front says the loop at Forest Dunes, red course, counterclockwise. And then you flip over this book and it says the loop at Forest Dunes, black course, clockwise. Boy, are we in for something with the brain today.
Oh, we're never going to get through this book. We're not smart enough for this.
I mean, so what's the story behind the loop?
Why don't we get one of the guys in?
Do you
want to
come over here and tell us the story behind the loop? Because I'm looking at one of the more confusing books of golf I've ever seen. You can take this
over
right
by
here.
Frankie.
You don't want to go by Riggs.
Yeah. It's not contagious.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah,
it doesn't spit out at people.
Yeah, it might.
Talk us through a little bit about like the history of the loop and what exactly is it?
So the loop is...
What's your name, by the way?
Yeah.
I'm Tyler. I'm the guest experience manager here at Forest Dunes.
Hey, Tyler.
Ty was the reason we're here. We've been going back and forth for months.
Glad to have you guys. So the loop is 18 greens. If you think of it as a circle, 18 greens that are played counterclockwise one day, and then clockwise the very next day. So it just flips. So if you're thinking about that circle, you're playing that green one way, and then the very next day you're just going backwards. So if you think about the first hole on the first green on the red course is going to be the 17th green on the black course. The only two holes or the only two greens that are going to have the same number are 9 and 18. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it always adds up to 18.
That didn't do it for Frankie. Look at his brain.
Frankie's lost.
Because the 1 and 17 screwed you up.
Yeah.
But that means the 18th green's got to be by one tee box. So
Correct. That's
where, woo!
Yeah. So it's always going to add up to 18. So like the second green on the red course is going to be the 16th green on the black course, if you think of it that way.
Yep.
It makes a lot of sense once you're out there. It's kind of hard to contextualize when you're just talking about it.
Right, you just kind of got to do it.
You got to do it. Once you get out there, it makes more sense. Once you play it once and then you play it the very next day like you guys are going to do, it'll make a lot more sense.
So do they feel like similar golf courses or completely different golf courses or?
Kind of a little bit of both. It's same, obviously the same style. You're playing the same fairways. But if you didn't know that it was a reversible golf course, you would, and you just played one day, you wouldn't really realize until you get out there that next day and see, oh my God, I just played this green yesterday, but I'm playing it from the opposite direction. That's when it really clicks.
Well, golf's been around for 500-600 years. Never heard anything like this in my life, and I don't think there's ever been anything like this. So to see something that's completely new and unique that we can't even wrap our brains around, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
I don't really know what to expect.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think the coolest part is they have all the land in the world here to be able to put just like multiple 18-hole golf courses, and they've done something super unique where it's a destination type of golf course where you want to play the loop. I think that's really cool. I mean, we drove. It took us like a half an hour to get into this property. The roads are so long. You guys have so much property here. So, I'm really excited to play something as unique. Like Rick said, golf's been around forever. We were just talking about old Tom Morris.
My advice to you, Frankie, is just play it like a golf course.
I'm just going to play it. I'm going to look at a green. I'm going to hit it at it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be thinking about what I'm doing tomorrow.
Totally.
But I'm coming right back on that fairway the other way.
It'll just be like a different approach angle, but you'll know once you're up there, it's going to look and feel the same way, but just the approach is going to be so, so different.
Right.
Which will be – and now – I guess the pins, because you're just doing a loop. So there won't be two pins on the greens. Like some par threes, or nine-hole courses have two pins and you go back and forth. But interesting. Yeah, that'll be great.
So this was like a...
Wait, are people hitting at the same
green? No, because it's one day it's, the red loop, and then the other day you go back the other way. Because there's Sweetens Cove, they have nine
holes,
they have two pins, totally different.
At some point, somebody on both courses is playing the same green, no?
No. Because it's its own 18-hole course in a loop, and then day one, it goes from left to right. Day two, it goes from right to left.
Wait, correct. Now I think I'm with Frankie.
Correct. What? So everybody,
that's never good.
Everybody's playing the same direction on one day. You're never playing both directions in the same day. So you're not going to have people playing. You're not going to have people hitting into each other. You're all going clockwise.
Oh, okay.
Today, you're all going counterclockwise. Tomorrow, you're all going to go clockwise.
That's like you guys schedule it that way. Right. But had it been just chaos, we would be hitting that different green.
So you guys might want to think about
it. There wasn't a guest experience manager.
No,
chaos.
I enjoy that part, though. I would love to be dodging things, and maybe you give us like a helmet and a cage, and it's like roller hockey or something. You go out there with like pads on and shit.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, cool. All
right.
I like it.
All right, man. So... correct me if I'm wrong, this was like something that Doak wanted to do for a long time, right? And, it's for like a very long time. He had came up with the idea a long time ago, and then you guys obviously were able to partner with him. Talk about that a little
bit. Yeah, so Doak kind of always had this in the back of his mind. He read this in an old book from like the 1900s, early 1900s, about a four-hole reversible golf course, and he always kind of had it in the back of his mind. And just he always talked about he needed the right client who would take the risk, and he found Lou Thompson, our previous owner, and pitched him the idea, and he loved it and built it, and it's still the only true reversible golf course in America. There's other courses that are similar, but they have 27 greens instead of 18. But we're the only truly reversible golf course with just 18 greens. And it's so essentially we got two golf courses in one for, you know, same maintenance and right. everything. And you don't have to take care of two golf courses when you can only take care of one.
So it says here, it says, welcome to the Loop at Forest Dunes, the first fully reversible 18-hole course in America. With the direction of play changing daily, the Loop is two courses in one and two yardage books in one, which is going to mess us up the whole week. The black course plays clockwise around the Loop, starting to the left of the 18th green and playing away to the white flag on the horizon. You'll play two white flags for the front nine, red flags for the back nine, just like the old course at St. Andrews.
Yep.
So it's got like a lot of kind of lineage yep. and historical roots. So this is going to be cool. And then the next 2 days, we're going to play the red and then the black. And we're going to, you know, on camera and on film when we put these out in a month or so, hopefully everybody can just understand it because yeah. clearly we're not smart enough right now.
I think Tyler did a great job explaining
it. I agree.
Really good job.
We appreciate it. And then the lodging and all that. How much lodging's on here? What's the deal with the original Forest Dunes course?
So we have about 121 beds, if you think about just beds.
Okay.
We have cottages, we have villas, we have a lodge that's kind of hotel style. So we've got plenty of options there. The Forest Dunes course is built in 02 by Tom Weiskopf. It's your typical up north Parkland style. Lush green grass, fast greens, in the woods, you know, white sand, the whole deal. It's what you think of up north Michigan golf. That's what it is. But it's an amazing golf course in great shape. I think you guys will enjoy that one too.
And then this bar we're at right now is the beginning and the end of the short course.
Correct. It's called, we have a 10-hole par 3 course called the Bootlegger, and we're sitting at the Bootlegger bar. So the first hole starts that way, tees off right at the bar, and then the 10th hole they actually crisscross, so that if you want a little bit of chaos, you can get a little bit of chaos.
That's Frankie. What Frankie wants.
Put a helmet on the kid.
Starts and ends at the bar, so you get times where there's late at night and there's people at the bar. It can get pretty rowdy. We've had people betting on the people hitting shots to the green closest to the pin, so it gets loud and rowdy, we have music speakers placed periodically around the golf course too, so we've got music going on out there, and it's meant to be fun, meant to just grab a couple clubs, you don't take your whole bag, just kind of hit shots, get creative and have fun.
It's a golf oasis out here.
Yeah,
it's great.
Really, it is.
Tyler, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very
pleasure.
Much. Thanks for having
my
us.
Pleasure.
Thank you, man.
And we're going to have a great time. People are going to hear a lot more about this, obviously, with the videos and with more podcasts. Somebody want to talk about Owen's Mixers? I don't really feel qualified right now.
Owen's Mixers is the greatest mixer company in the game. It's just a fact. They've dominated the market. They've taken it over, and they've really just put a stranglehold on all other mixers. It's the go-to mixer, whether you're making a Transfusion. We have the Transfusion mix. It is the go-to mixer if you're making a Paloma like Lurch. I know they have a Margarita mix. They just have it all, and Owen's Mixers is the greatest partner that we could possibly ask for when it comes to drinks.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure we'll be drinking a few while we're out here. The weather's beautiful. Perfect weather for a cocktail. It's like what, like low 80s, high 70s, sunny day.
Perfect.
Little breeze. Love a little breeze.
Smells like trees out here. Perfect time to drink a Barcel Transfusion. Shout out to Owen's Mixers. Greatest presenting sponsor in the game.
You can get them at CVS's, right?
Amazon.
You
can look at owensmixers.com, store locator, and you're going to find them all around you. They're going to pop up everywhere, but you can also get it on Amazon. They'll ship it right to your door.
There you go.
Do you guys think this place is going to be good or bad for your games? Like, do you think you're going to play better than average at a place like this or worse than average?
Well, we've heard a little bit about the course that we're about to play today, and I know it plays pretty firm. It plays very link style. It plays like you would over in Scotland. I heard that word, that terminology. I've never really played courses like that. I hope that will help my game. Maybe I can run some stuff up. I can putt off greens. I can get a little creative without having to try and fly balls at flag sticks and really get nippy with my wedges. I think I can kind of just like knock the ball around a little bit. I'm excited about that. I'm nervous about how tough the greens will be.
Yeah.
I feel like when you play courses like this, the greens are what defends the course.
It definitely looks firm and fast. So it's just like something that you've got to understand and play too, that the Riggs and I played yesterday, they just got a lot of water, so it's just you hit something up there, it stopped pretty much where you hit it. Here it looks like it's just going to run through. It looks very plush.
Which I prefer. Firm and fast, I prefer.
Yeah.
I just think like it suits my game better. I get a little bit more distance as a guy that doesn't hit the ball particularly far.
Yeah.
And then like around the greens, it's like I can be a little bit more creative and you kind of roll it around. You have to fly it everywhere. So generally, I would say I prefer firm and fast. Jake Bass looks like he's freaking out right now.
I saw a Jake Bass freak out happening in front of me.
Did a bug attack you or something?
I was thinking that we didn't.
That's
we
just a
recording.
Butterfly, by the way, if you're worried about it.
Okay.
Right, are we all good or no? We can just wait.
He says we're all good.
He has the look of a man who is not all good. That's true. You always do.
What happened?
Like that.
Talk us through it.
A spike in audio that he's going to have to edit. Okay, so we're good. Firm and fast for me. I don't know. I like Frankie. We don't play golf course like this all that often, but I'm excited for the challenge. I will say that.
And in America in general, you don't play golf courses like this,
right?
It's kind of a good amount of symmetry because we got the British Open this week.
Right.
They're talking about firm, fast, how different it is over there. It's a little bit more wet than they would like it over there, but obviously, in general, links golf, British Isles type golf plays a lot more firm and fast. So getting that kind of experience while the British Open's going on, I'm pumped. I think it's different because we very, very rarely in the United States of America get firm anywhere. I mean, yesterday was a great example of just pretty standard Parkland, like American golf, where you drive out there and like your ball's within 3 feet of your ball mark in the fairway.
Yep.
With the driver.
100%.
And it's like,
on the 18th, you had check spin. And you hit like a ripping draw.
I hit like a rip draw driver. My ball was probably 6 inches behind where it landed.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot more American golf than sort of this firm and fast type feel. So I'm very excited. It's got the whole kind of golf, like Disneyland for golfers vibe right away. There's golf everywhere. You don't know what hole's what. There's butterflies flying in my face.
That was incredible composure by you. I don't know if hopefully we caught that on video. You just kept talking and a butterfly was 2 inches from your face. You just got so much going on.
Right between my eyes. I think that's what it is, that I can only focus on so many things. This butterfly is not in my top 10 priority list.
How much are you thinking about your asshole right now? Is it constantly on your mind?
Yes.
Has to be. It's constantly on all of our minds, I think, unfortunately.
It sucks. Yeah, it sucks.
Okay.
I'm very, again, this might be graphic, but all I can really think about is what is it going to look like when I go check on things.
Oh, God bless it.
Yeah, you just usually hope those problems are 50 years down the road.
Or never, right? Like, or never.
Obviously,
you just want it to be tight. You know, you just want things to just kind of stay in there.
I mean, swinging's going to be,
once you lose control of that hole.
I would say not even control, the confidence. Right. As soon as your confidence is gone in this, it's.
If you've lost control, if you've lost confidence in your asshole, I don't know how you can come back from that.
You don't think about it, but a lot of your confidence radiates from your asshole. Just knowing that it's okay.
Right, that's the valve that's closed.
You know what I mean?
My bodily fluids aren't going to fall from the low hole.
And you don't realize it until you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then you're like, I can't believe.
You don't know what you got until you fucking lose it.
I didn't realize that the heart of my confidence was in my asshole.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mine's not right now.
I'm gonna be doing like cankles for my ass. Just could tighten that shit up.
Cankles. Oh,
kegels. Kegels. That's what
kegels,
you got.
That's what I have.
what are they called? Kegels.
Kegel exercises.
Kegel exercise. That's how you strengthen the. Yeah.
Flip side or silver lining or kankles? I don't even know what you call it in regards to this. But if you play really well, it's like your flu game.
I could use some silver lining right now. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You're right. Red lining in your pants.
You could use extra lining.
This would be your flu game. That would be phenomenal. Imagine you shoot a career low.
Yeah, imagine I go out and I just play horrible and I have just my condition going on. It's like, this just sucks.
We're rooting for you. Well, I'm rooting for you to play well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not in constant pain.
Okay.
Just discomfort and lack of confidence.
Okay.
Your body has betrayed you.
Currently, yes.
Do you think it's anything you did?
I mean, unless someone else came in and penetrated, it had to be something I. Right?
What do you think it was? If you were going to pinpoint it,
I have no idea. I just woke up Saturday, felt a little bit of discomfort internally in there, and it just hasn't gone away. It's now Wednesday, but it's been 5 days or so. Zero signs of blood until this morning. Zero, not any. So I think it was like a little bit of a.
Chick Bass, we need to stop this recording or what?
So yeah, we're just. This is just where we're at right now.
Okay.
And it is what it is. My constant reminder is like worst things have happened to people. So
definitely,
just that's it. We're at a beautiful golf course, and it just is what it is. I'm alive. That's great. I don't know for how much longer. Hopefully, somebody can send me a note and give me confidence that it's not
life threatening.
Yeah, right. That's correct.
I've got something to bring up. Lurch has made some horrible takes on the show and on Instagram, Twitter. You have just like something your takes on just everything on life. Today you did something on Instagram that really just can't be overlooked. And you were on a flight, I guess yesterday.
Yep.
You took a photo of what looked to be Mott's tomato juice.
Yep.
And you wrote, Is there a better flight drink?
Yes.
Than Mott's tomato juice?
And I stand by that. I would say maybe if Riggs.
Is that
had
the worst thing that's
what's
ever.
The poll? What's the poll say? I saw it, it was like 80 to 90% said no.
Right, I didn't
no,
even want to click on it.
Everybody was like, are you trolling? I think Kevin
Robbie
Hayes
Fox just
said,
texted us, is this a bit?
No, Kevin Hayes goes, there's literally 1,200 better drinks than that.
There's a lot better drinks.
So I love it. I mean, I know it's not, it was, you know, funny just to see if anybody else did it because I ask for tomato juice. I think it's lovely. I also, when I drink it, somebody's told me that, like, it's just a healthy drink. So when I drink it, I feel like I'm adding years onto my life.
Okay.
So I didn't know if anybody else was under that mindset. Clearly not many people are.
I
would say maybe
people.
If our guy Riggs over here had a little tomato juice, maybe he's not going through what he's doing.
But that's completely unrelated.
But like my point is like you were so specific to in-flight drink. And,
right,
and so many people have so many other like specific in-flight drinks that they enjoy.
Like,
number one being ginger ale. When you're on a flight, ginger ale just tastes better.
I get an ice-cold Coca-Cola
Coca-Cola, maybe. You know,
tastes
like,
different at that altitude.
So you don't get tomato juice?
Tomato juice? Like,
no, not so much Mott's, just tomato juice.
The Mott's brand tomato juice made it such a poor choice in in-flight drink that I couldn't even wrap my head around it.
Dude, I love it.
Like, when they gave you the tomato juice and they said it's going to be Mott's, you should have been like, whatever, give me the ginger ale. You should have done it with your classic Mott's, Mott's tomato juice.
It's also, you didn't phrase it as, is this anyone else's favorite in life? You said, is this the greatest? Which would be like,
right.
It'd be like saying, like, is Zach Johnson the greatest player of all time?
Yep.
And then Trent being like, no, but I love him. And people be like, no, we get it. But like, he's clearly not the best player of all time.
Right, yeah.
That's like a crazy way to phrase it.
And I also think now you are, because the percentage is so high on the other end, you're saying like, oh, it was just like a joke, but I want to see if other people were doing it.
No, it's just,
it
is my favorite.
Did you expect that poll to be like 50-50?
No, I knew it was going to be low. Okay. It was more of a poll to see if anybody else is getting.
Then it's a bit.
It's a bit.
No.
That by nature is a bit, because you know the answer is no.
I was interested, because not many other people enjoy the tomato juice, and I do.
87 to 13%.
That's an unlucky number.
And like 13 is probably people that just clicked the wrong one.
Right?
They get DMs being like, "Dude, can I revote?"
Yeah.
Greatest. I accidentally hit no when I went to go check it. So you just got an extra vote.
No,
on your side.
You voted the right
side. You
voted
against me then. No is.
Is it the greatest in-flight drink?
Well, no. Is there a better flight drink?
Oh god!
And everyone said yes.
Oh, I see. The phrasing is that
right.
One. Okay.
Yeah.
And I said no by accident.
Yeah.
Mott's 100% tomato juice.
So it's probably 88 to 12.
What other takes, Frank?
Oh, no. It's just...
Just like starting aggressive?
Well, no. Yeah. Whatever you say just goes in one ear, out the other. But
for you, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't try and remember it.
But yeah, no. I enjoy tomato juice. And I really think it's...
Nothing wrong with that.
On like... When I'm on a flight, it's like, whatever, and soda's not great for you, so I'm like, tomato juice, let's do it, let's get healthy here.
Probably a lot of sodium in that.
Probably.
Yeah.
I just go water.
Do you?
Yeah.
Most of the time I do water, but when I'm feeling like I want something other than water, ice cold Coca-Cola.
Ginger ale on a flight just hits different.
Good as well.
I do a bottle of water at like the general, you know, whatever, convenience shop that they got there.
Hudson
News or whatever. Yeah. I do a bottle of water, and then I just keep that with me so that if I pass out, nobody bothers me. I've got water when I wake up. I don't like to be, you know, because I sleep the whole time.
Good plan.
So, yeah, that's my plan. That's what I go to. And then I also will say I finally, people aren't going to believe I didn't have this yet, but I finally got TSA PreCheck.
Wow.
I mean, it's life-changing.
Wow.
It's like you're flying
private. Do you have it,
Frank?
No. I have Clear.
Clear is worthless.
Is it?
In comparison
I've never
TSA?
Used it. I've never used it.
I've got both.
Well, Clear to me, the flights that the airports I typically go to, it's life changing for me.
Right,
because all the airports I go to, it just has it.
But then you still have to do the security bit, so you still have to like unpack your bags, take out your laptop, take off your shoes.
Yeah.
TSA PreCheck, you go right to the front of the line, and you don't take anything out of your bag. You don't take your shoes off, nothing. You just walk on through. So it is like it's turning every massive airport into like a regional airport.
I will say now that I walk through now with this, I walk through with the guiltiest look on my face.
How do they secure that stuff?
I don't know, but like I do it. I didn't know that was part of the deal, that you don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to take out your laptop. You just basically walk through And now I look so I like look at everyone like this is.
I feel like I look sorry. Extra suspicious because wait, I know I feel like I'm doing.
You don't
something
have
wrong.
To do anything if you have TSA pre-check.
Dude, you no. go through this special line, the green check mark, and then there's no one ever in the line, and they have like their own TSA agent. So you walk up, they do the ID thing, pull your mask down, and then you walk up to the like belt, the little security belt, and the like the metal detector. And you legit, you don't have to take off anything. Mm-hmm. You put your bag on the table, no matter what it has in it, basically. You slide it through, you walk right through the thing, and they're like, have a great day, sir.
How do yeah. they know you're not a crazy person?
Because they went through the pre-thing. Yeah, they do
I
like
feel like it can't got, be as thorough as I want it to be.
I agree, because you get 5 years of being on TSA pre-check, where, again, your bags still go through like that scanning thing. You okay. just don't take anything out. So it's like the same kind of procedure.
Pretty much.
And actually, in some
new
machines.
You can turn into a crazy person in 5
right,
years.
But right. in some new machines,
stumble
you don't
upon
take
some
your stuff
website,
off
you never know where your brain's going to go.
That. No, totally. I'm with you on that. And so Clear now.
This also might get my pre-check ripped.
I'd also
seen Clear partner with TSA. So if you have Clear and TSA, then there's that like special line for you. But sometimes, anyways.
I'd also like to say that what it's really telling me is that all of this stuff where I'm taking off my belt and my shoes and my shirt and my underwear, it's unnecessary.
I agree with that. Completely.
Like they're making the process more difficult.
Oh, yeah.
If
yeah.
they can do it the other way, then why don't we all just do it the other way?
Because they've done, in theory, they've done like a thorough background check, and they've considered you like a very unlikely to be a problem person.
I would love to know what that entails.
Totally. It seems like, very
what questions
seems arbitrary. Right. It's like, yeah, you're a problem. Nope.
No, you'll be fine for 5 years.
I wonder what their deny rate is.
Don't know.
True.
I was approved in like a couple days.
Same.
It was like honestly 3 days.
Do you go in there? You like answer one question,
right?
And you pay $85 for five years, and it's just it's life changing. It feels like I'm flying private. I show up like 2 seconds before my flight, walk right through. I just lay my bag down. I walk right there. I don't take anything off, and then you always give the look back at the real security line to like sweeten the deal to right. know how much better you have it than they have it, and then you just saunter your way through. It's great.
It's easy pass like for it. Airports. It's like the fact that people still don't have EasyPass blows my mind. You just blow right through the toll, and they just charge you whatever. TSA is the same way. Same premise.
Well, if you blow right through, dude wipes, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. Now this.
Oh, boy. We're going to let you handle this one.
I'm extremely qualified to talk about dude wipes. I got a bunch in my bag right now, so that's going to help me get through this week. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I psyched out Coop. No doubt about it. Great line. You guys big basketball fans?
I mean, I've definitely seen it a bunch. It's been a while. What was the line again?
The best part of that game is when I psyched out Coop. No doubt about it.
I don't know if I could quote baseball.
I like the way that you say it. I don't remember from the movie.
It's one that my boys back home, they live for basketball.
Yeah.
So they bring it up every time we get together.
I like that movie for sure. I just don't remember the lines.
Just goes, best part. Like, oh, what do you think the best part of the game was? Best part of that game is when I psyched out Coop. No doubt about it.
I like how much you like it.
Yeah, me too.
Anyways, we need to have a serious chat about your bathroom habits.
Oh, boy.
It's time to quit scratchy, gross toilet paper, which who knows? That could have been the cause of an issue that I'm going through. Dude wipes are extra large flushable wipes made with plant sourced fibers designed to give your butt a cleaner, more refreshing finish than toilet paper.
This couldn't have been on a better show.
Yeah. No, this is good.
Just think about it. When you wash your face, hands, or body, you use water to get yourself clean. So when it comes to the dirtiest thing that we do, why do we use dry toilet paper? Not any longer. Use Dude Wipes. They will change your life. Your butt will thank you, and you'll never look at an empty toilet paper roll the same way again.
Just think about it. When your butt betrays you and you're leaking blood out of your asshole,
right.
Dude Wipes is there for you.
100%.
I'm glad you said that. Nobody was thinking it. DudeWipes.com. Use the code 415 for 15% off. You can find everything at Amazon or Dude Wipes at Walmart or Target nationwide, or you just go to DudeWipes.com. Use the code 415. That's one word, F-O-R-E-1-5. For 15% off your entire order. That's dudewipes.com. Use the code 415 for 15% off your entire order. I do want to say on this TSA pre-check thing,
yeah.
It's like the second flight that I took after getting it. It was at LaGuardia, and they just I got my known traveler number, which is a life-changing number. And I go through, and I show up to the security thing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm TSA pre-check. And the guy's like, yeah, we just don't have it here. And I was like, well, no. What do you mean? Like, I'm just TSA pre-check. He said, yeah, we don't have it today. You just got to get in line with everybody else. And I was no. I was like, so then I go, can I get my money back? And the guy's like, can you just get in line with everybody else? Yeah. But other than that, it's been unstoppable.
The thing I'll say about airport travel in general is that it's way easier than I thought it was going to be when I was a young child. Like, people always made it seem like it's like you got to get there 8 hours early or you're going to miss your flight. But if you just, like, are a regular, normal person and you leave, like, 2 hours before you need to get there or before your plane takes off, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I've knock on wood, I've never missed a flight. And we've been flying a lot. The last 5 years, I've flown a lot. And if you just handle it like an adult, you're not going to miss your flight.
I only missed two. One of them was with you guys when everybody else got on that flight except me. We went to Pebble Beach 2 years ago.
One of the funniest moments of my life, yeah. They called you up. Uh-huh. Then you were, like, excited because we were there. I think Dave was there with us because you were going out for the Mulligan Challenge.
Yeah.
Ooh. You were on. Dave was on. Me and Riggs were sitting there, and we're just waiting, like, all right, if one more person they allow on this flight, it's going to be me or you. They called you up there, and they looked at the name sheet, and they were like, are you Trent Ryan? And I watched you walk back towards me. They called my name. I got on, and I got there on time. And you got there at like 2 a.m., got 2 hours of sleep, and then we walked Pebble twice.
It was the worst flight, worst day. I took a two-hour Uber then from San Francisco down.
Right.
Got in at like 4 a.m. We were up at like 6 ready to rock. And, man, and I remember, like, they called me first, and I, like, snickered at Trent. Like, oh, tough break.
Right.
And they're like, you're not Trent Ryan? And I was like, are you fucking serious right now? And then I just – that was, like, the only flight. We missed the flight prior, so that's why we ended up all on standby.
Yep.
But that's the only flight I've really missed. But you're right. I think you're right, Trent. Once you get used to it, flying's just not that big of a
deal. I had a crazy experience yesterday at an airport real quick. I've had a broken ID, driver's license forever. It's just had a little crack through the middle. This guy at Red Lion in New York City, this fucking bouncer just bent my card and it just snapped one day. I was like, why did you do that? I'm 26 years old.
Do they still do like 80s night there?
Yeah, it's an amazing bar.
Live band?
Yeah, oh, yeah. One of the best live band spots of all time.
Right.
But
did you guys
yeah.
perform there?
No, we were supposed to.
Oh, okay.
We had it booked to play at Red Lion right before the pandemic, and then like the week of, they're like, "Yeah, we gotta like, we can't just do that. There's a pandemic going on." So I've had this crack, and I've just been like not getting it fixed, especially during the pandemic. Like, you're not going to the DMV; that's just something you're not doing. And I also didn't know you can just order one online. So I've been very lazy. It's like $14 to order one online. I've now found that out. Anyway, on a bachelor party, and I'm drunk, and I ripped the ID, forgetting that it's cracked. It's like. It's in this wallet that's really tight because I've got all these cards in it. And it just snaps in half. And I'm like, holy smokes. Anyway, getting back from Savannah, they didn't care. They were just like, yeah, you taped it up. Like, it's fine. It actually went through the reader. Yesterday, I go to the airport at JFK at LaGuardia. And the guy is like, all business. And he goes, I refuse to accept this card. And I said, well, I can't accept that answer because there's a flight on the other side of you. I am who I am. I'm an American citizen. I am who I am. I can prove it in many ways aside from this little piece of paper or this little card. And I didn't say all this stuff because I'm a bitch.
Right.
Did you say the American citizen line?
I didn't say any of this.
Because you said that in the car, too. And I was like, what a line that is.
I'm just thinking, like, there's... Frankie, you know I am who I am.
Frankie's great at the... like, if you said the things that you say in the story afterwards,
legend.
It would be awesome.
I would do anything to have that TSA agent on the show.
I
get his vantage point.
I just, like...
I told him no, and he just turned around and
laughed.
He
was like, okay.
Well, no, so I was like, I actually said, like, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do because that is my ID. And he goes, well, I can't help you. And I said, I have this little, like, this little pass that when I ordered my new ID, which is coming in, like, 4 weeks. I don't know what the ID people are doing, but you got to be faster than that. You got to be better. I was like, it literally says, do not use at airports. He, like, kind of pointed at it. Like, yeah, you see that right there? You just can't use that for identification reasons. So I'm like, well, I'm fucked because I'm just going to miss the flight. And I go rummaging through my bag for some reason in my backpack. And what do I find? My fucking passport from when we went to Australia was
miracle.
In my backpack.
Such a miracle.
Somehow, some way, it was in my backpack.
You
so I go out to the guy. I'm like, I have identification. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. I put my.
You didn't have it unpacked in 2 years. That's miraculous.
It's in this like slot that like I would never look in my backpack. It's like the front one in this pocket. And I was going through being like, do I have anything in here? Like, I don't know.
But
and
you probably, you bring that backpack everywhere.
Yeah, I bring it everywhere.
Yeah. See, I do the same thing with mine, especially because when we go on these long road trips. Or work trips or whatever, like you never know when something might happen. You might have to go out of the country. Like I'm not,
yeah.
I don't mean flee, but like, what if hey, you guys can interview like Tiger Woods in Cabo,
right?
Or whatever. It's like I need to have my passport,
yeah. so I should keep my passport on me. I should keep it on me.
You should, but you don't want to lose it. So like, Frankie just had it in his backpack for
forever,
for a couple of years, 2 years now.
Yes.
And so like, God forbid he lost a backpack or anything, the passport's gone, and then you got a mess on your hands.
But I want to tell you
can
right
they steal
now,
steal your identity by using a passport.
They're probably closer to it. I don't know what
they
that
can
looks
steal your identity.
Like.
I think by just like looking at you online.
I think so.
My passport is definitely not in my backpack right now, and I don't know where it is. somewhere probably in my apartment. Yeah. Hopefully
you think
it made
it with you. Did
you just
move?
So
I hope it made
you
the move.
Just touched it, unless you did the anything's in my desk. I just
Do you have like a documents region of your apartment where it's just
I have this
documents are
huge yellow folder that I just throw important things in, and it is legitimately that wide now. It has like old leases that I've signed for apartments, and like I'm hoping that it's tucked into one of those sleeves.
Yep, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Just an important docs area.
It has,
everything's
my,
in there.
My there's checks in there that I could use that I haven't used in 3 years, 4 years. Yeah, so hopefully it's in there. But that's a strike of luck for Frankie Pirelli.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been here.
I remember like right when I graduated, my parents gave me like one of their old cars. It was like a Mazda, and they're like put the, they give you like the title to the car, and that was one of those things you just throw in the document folder area, and you just hope. But then like when they didn't need it, I was like, oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, the
I've moved five apartments. It should
like,
be anywhere.
Like, hopefully my Social Security card is in there. Dude, I just,
oh, boy.
I almost went cross-eyed. Yes. A butterfly flew in my face, and I almost went cross-eyed. I did the opposite of what Riggs did, and I just, my head just bounced.
Trent's just following the butterfly.
What was that? NC State, they just, like, got a new dog mascot. Did you see the video? They're, like, introducing the new dog, and then he's run, the dog's running out to the field, and then a butterfly goes by him, and he kind of just, like, forgets that he has to do this video. That's kind of Trent. Trent, like, can't pay attention because there's butterflies around him.
I've never felt more childlike than that moment. I was just like, oh. I went like that a bunch, which people aren't on an audio podcast, but hopefully we'll see the video on that. But, but yeah, hopefully I have my passport and all my important documents somewhere in that yellow folder.
I hope you have them in there, too.
I got to eat something, guys. You know?
We'll get to it.
That feels childish, but I just have to eat something.
We'll get to it.
Okay. I do not.
No.
Yeah.
One of the last things I want to do right now.
I want to sit down and just eat a sandwich.
That sounds so good. What would you get? What do you think you're going to
get? I would get some sort of grilled chicken sandwich. Incredible. I would get some sort of grilled chicken avocado sandwich.
That sounds so
good. On like a panini
good.
Type deal.
Yes.
Can you give me grilled chicken, mozzarella, and a little bit of an avocado with some balsamic vinaigrette on there?
Yep.
Hello, darling.
Mm-hmm. You guys are
going
to be mean to Riggs.
You guys
right
are going to be to blame for a nightmare. So.
Just shoving food down his throat and there's blood coming everywhere.
That's what you guys are doing right now.
There goes Jake again.
I really want Jake to throw up during this
pennies.
That almost got him. Right
yeah, that did. He really reacted.
See, I thought he's such a sick fuck. He'd be like getting off.
Yeah,
of
dude,
no, I think he's exposed himself like as a bit of a, I don't know what you would call that.
Pussy?
It's like the Red Wedding. Huh? Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, tough.
Let's move on.
I've got a bet here because we are in Michigan.
Yeah,
and
we
it
are.
Is the Open Championship week. When you're listening to this, you're probably listening to this as it started because I think it starts at like 3 a.m.
Starts early, yeah.
United States time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I mean we do have international
just general United States.
We
time?
Do have we do have international listeners.
We do a surprising amount, especially in the UK. They've been begging for us to come over there. Next year, I want to do an Ireland or Scotland trip.
Have to do it.
I think that would be fantastic.
Be unbelievable.
Do our travel series over there. Go for like a week and a half.
Whew. In. I'm in.
Just hope my rectum
100%.
Fixed by
I'm that. All in on that.
We got 4 to 6 weeks. So if it's not fixed in a year, I think you're dead.
Yeah. I think that's probably fair.
What were you going to say?
Barstool Sportsbook app is live in Michigan. Number one, they have the casino live on there, which is a lot of fun. We were sitting at dinner the other night in Traverse City, by the way. Great city. City of cherries.
Cherries.
Cherry city.
A cherry-heavy city.
Cherry capital of the world?
I think so.
Cherries everywhere.
World?
Cherries everywhere. I didn't eat one.
No, I didn't either. But you guys wouldn't believe how many cherry-themed things there are around just that little
town. What
was
the name of that one place? The cherry...
Avery,
what's Avery,
the
name,
of that cherry place?
No, that's not it. Cherry Republic.
Great name.
And you walk in there, and they got, what was it called? Cherryaki. It's cherry-flavored teriyaki sauce. They've got cherry...
barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce. Everything, cherry, everything you could possibly imagine.
Chocolate-covered cherries, cherry soda.
All
every
we didn't see was just cherries.
Right, like, I don't think you could walk in there and be like, I just want to eat a regular cherry, and I think they'd throw you out.
Unless they were in some other area. Anyway, Traverse City, really cool place, really good town. But we were sitting there and we were able to like hit the slots on the phone and like be able to like play a little blackjack. It was fun as we were waiting for the food. We were having a couple hands dealt.
Blackjack's fun anywhere. So you can just bring it up and play, you know, whatever, a couple bucks.
Dude, we were sitting there playing a couple bucks, waiting for the food, and like I got a king and we were trying to like, let's go. And then it was just like, ace, the blackjack, like, let's go. And then like the fries come and you're like, all right, we're putting that away and let's go eat.
It's fun, man.
Free set of fries.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my buddy Rob, the guy who his teeth fall out in his thing. He's saying? The ultimate guy where if you're playing with him on the golf course or something and he's taking a little money from you, he lets you know exactly what that gets him. So it's like, oh, so, and it drives you fucking crazy because like you're like, I want that.
That's a free right? sandwich.
Oh, he's like, yeah, it'll be like a putting contest. He goes, that's a hot dog and a beer. And I'm like, well, I want a hot dog and a beer. And now I'm buying your hot dog and beer. Oh, my God, it drives you fucking crazy. Anyway, the Open Championship 2021, we've got it in the Barstool Sportsbook app. If you're in Michigan, if you're in Pennsylvania, if you are in, come on, guys, Indiana, you can place wagers. Illinois, Chicago, where are you at? We can place wagers on the Barstool Sportsbook app. I just put in my second bet of the championship, the first one being the $100 buy-in in the Barstool exclusive, which I guess if you're listening to this, it's now closed. What was it, Rahm, JT, and Spieth to all just make the cut, and then you get a four-play polo shirt. That's a great bet. But now my one bet that I put in, aside from that, Patrick Cantlay, top 10, plus 250. I am very excited about that bet. I think Patrick Cantlay, I saw him on the driving range. I saw JT mixing it up, messing around with Patrick Cantlay on the driving range. They both looked like they were having a great time. His swing looked very smooth. It looked very pure. I don't know what kind of style golfer Patrick Cantlay is, if he's going to do well in the Open Championship. I probably should have done a little bit of research if he does well on links-style golf. That's the guy I'm riding this week. I'm also going to be placing a JT top five.
Wow, not to win.
No, JT top five. I'm done with winners, man. It's just so way hard. Too hard to get it, and I'd rather root for if the guy's out of it to like on 17 and 18 backdoor to just like come on, like hold on.
It is more fun to do bet. Top tens, top 25s, things like
you
that.
You basically get the same odds. It's, I mean, not the same. You're not gonna get the crazy long shots, but like getting Patrick Cantlay plus 250 to be top 10. He's like a fucking sick golfer.
Right. No. I like those bets. I always go top 20, top 40, like. It's just so hard to win, and then you're in the mix. You're rooting for the guys.
Coin flip.
Like Stricker in the John Deere. He finished T41. It's brutal. I had him as a T40 finish. But, you're in it to the end. And if I had him to win, it's just like I lose the bet on the first Thursday because he's so off the mix.
What's a Rory top 10?
I don't know what those odds are, but I'm big Rory this week.
You would Rory McIlroy's top 10 is plus 188.
I'm very low Rory this week.
You are.
Wow. Oh, I just missed the cut. Like, he's a disaster.
You could probably go back and listen to a lot of podcasts of ours right before majors, and we probably mentioned Rory a lot. Just because it always feels like it's going to happen.
One-name guy.
It's fucking Rory, dude. Right. And it never happens. But, again, I don't want to do winners, so I'm going to do like a top 10 or a top 20 with him.
It also feels like he's been due for 7 years.
I know, but I can't get it out of my head. It has to happen.
You know what else seems to be just a lock every single week, and we talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago? Like, John Rahm, just top five. Just bet him. It's like plus 200. Sure. I think it was like plus 188 the last time I looked. How do you not put money on that
guy? I think you have to.
Do you see his quote about a club foot?
Dude, so that was fascinating.
It is fascinating.
And then he went into his wrist.
What happened?
It's like, that was must listen to.
Dude, I listened to it live. I was just like, well, now what's he saying there? And somebody, credit to the reporter, somebody asked a very good question that was just like, hey, with like the length of your swing and how short and unique it is, like, have you ever considered kind of changing it or with distance or what's the deal with that? And he's like, yeah, I'm not sure how many people know this, but I was born with a clubbed foot where, you know, his foot was like, I guess it was his right foot, was like turned inward.
No, he said it was upside down. You listen, he says he was born and his foot was upside down. They broke every bone in his body.
What does that mean, upside down? What do you mean his foot's upside down?
So instead of like this, instead of the way it looks right now on your foot, when you look down and that part of your body's working, right?
Past your bum.
It basically turn your foot and put your heel facing you. Put the bottom of your foot facing the baby's face. That's what he said. And so they
broke. That doesn't make sense, though.
I think a lot of messed up things can happen when things are being put together.
Right. I mean, you're just a baby coming out of the womb. Like, it's incredible that
it's a miracle it all comes out the same way.
Right.
So anyways, he's born with a clubbed foot, and like you said, they had to like right in real time just basically try to set it as best they could, broke every bone in his body, and every 2 weeks till he was like a year old, he had to get it recasted. So he's like, I just literally can't like go beyond thing, or I lose stability in like my right foot.
Right.
So that's why I have a short swing, and then my wrists like don't really bow like out, they bow kind of in, so he has a bowed wrist, and he's like, yeah, so me and my coach have worked forever on just like optimizing what works for my body. Everybody's body's different, and this is how my body is. And it was fucking fascinating.
Let me read this quote.
So he's like, all my power out of my bowed wrist. Yeah, go, Trent.
Yeah, he said, I was born with a club foot on my right leg, which means for anybody that's sensitive about that, my right leg up to the ankle was straight. My foot was 90 degrees turned inside and basically upside down. So when I was born, that they pretty much broke every bone in the ankle, and I was casted within 20 minutes of being born from the knee down. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right, it is.
And it just makes sense. Like, his swing looks short and different and weird, but, like, that he's optimized what his body allows him to do to be the best player in the world, basically.
Right, and it was so cool because he was just like, yeah, you swing your swing. And, like, it's just like, this is the one that makes sense for my body, what it can do.
Right.
And this is optimal for – and so, like, I encourage all of you to not have that dreamy, long swing because that's what you see on TV. Figure out, like, what your body can do, what it can't do.
That's what I'm doing right now with this fucking short swing. My shoulders just can't go right back. Literally, I'm in pain when I do this. So it's like when I watch videos of myself, I'm like, why am I stopping so short? It's because my body's saying that is where it feels comfortable to stop the swing. And, yeah, it sucks because, like, I'm getting fast. I'm getting hooky. I'm getting slicey. It's very inconsistent. But that's just the way it is right now. I refuse to go to physical therapy because I'm lazy.
Also, I mean, you have little legs. So, like, stability-wise, it probably makes sense to have a shorter swing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do have little legs.
You do. That's true. I think you should show him more. We were talking about this yesterday. Lurge, like, didn't have shorts. He's waiting for some of his Pure Moir shorts to come in last night, which they did, which he's wearing now. He looks great. Ooh. But he's just wearing pants yesterday. And he was like, this is fucking miserable. How does somebody wear pants when it's hot outside?
I've just adapted to it, man. It's just my body.
I don't know. I don't want to speak out of school, but you showed me a picture of you in shorts on that bachelor party that you were on, and you look like a different person.
I do. It makes my upper body just look big.
Right. Dude, really? What happened, what seemed
short,
to happen.
The legs actually don't look terrible. I think I need to work on, I mean, there it is. I mean, it's just bad.
What happens, I think, with him is that fine. I think the wind goes up through the shorts, and then it goes up into the shirt, and he looks a little thicker.
Dude, you look great. That might be the best you've ever looked on a golf course.
You look great.
You look, like, perfectly normal.
You look so much more comfortable, I feel.
Your legs actually look bigger. Is that because of – I know you're doing Peloton and obviously doing roller
hockey. I
haven't
done Peloton in a long time. Actually, my pal Brock Nelson likes to give me a lot of shit about that. He says, is that thing just collecting dust now? And he'll just send me my calendar, and it'll just have zero rides in the last month. Oh, I always have an excuse. Like, the Islanders are on a playoff run. I'm not just going to do the Peloton, like – I have to watch hockey games.
Was,
like,
he riding it during the playoff run?
I mean, I'm sure he was working.
He was literally on that playoff run, and he was still doing it.
Yeah, like, you know, like, my girlfriend had surgery. I couldn't do it during then. You can't, like, be mean and work out in front of someone. Then the Islanders went on a playoff run. Now I'm traveling like crazy. It's been like 2 months. Whatever.
You can't bring that thing on a plane.
I can't be bringing that thing on a plane. What do you? When I'm home, I'm like, I gotta do stuff. I can't work out.
There's a couple that I love here.
Okay.
First, I love New Amsterdam vodka.
Yeah.
Official vodka, Barstool Sports.
Yep.
Just delicious. It's distilled a bunch, and then they put it through a lot of good stuff. And we, you know, we talked earlier about the transfusion, which is a great drink when you're putting a little bit of vodka in there. The fact that you wouldn't be using New Amsterdam vodka is crazy at this point. It's the official vodka of Barstool Sports.
We got our own bottle.
Delicious, and now we have our own bottle.
We don't throw that logo on just anything. We stand by everything we throw it on. So it's like New Amsterdam vodka, it's on there. Barstool transfusion, it's on there. It's a great, great product, great vodka.
Let me tell you about this vodka. It's made from some of the finest quality grains in America's heartland. New Amsterdam vodka is 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, then filtered 3 times for a clean, crisp finish, and then you can get it at your local liquor store with the new summer co-branded New Amsterdam vodka bottle.
Excellent.
Boom.
Living.
I'm going to miss you in my mug and my dad's face on the New Amsterdam commercial. I don't know if that's going to run to the next year. But that was a lot of fun.
It feels like an evergreen commercial.
It may be, but usually they switch it up.
Okay.
From year to year.
Yeah.
But New Amsterdam, what a company.
They're great. New Amsterdam vodka. Go get some. Use it. Drink it. Enjoy your life. Matthew Fitzpatrick. Top 5. He's plus 500.
It's a really good bet.
Played well at the Scottish.
He did.
Finished lost in a playoff at the Scottish.
Yep.
So he likes links golf.
He's a Brit. He's
I also
English.
Like those guys over there. Yeah, like even Shane Lowry, obviously ex-winner, but like I don't hate him to be a top 20 player or something like
it's
that.
It's also like Fitz hasn't won in America yet. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour, but he's won like whatever 6 times in the European Tour. So it feels very fitting that his first like big breakthrough win would be at the British Open in England, which is his home country.
Plus 500.
How much of an advantage those guys have over like a guy like JT, like who just doesn't play.
It's interesting
that style.
Talking to him. Fitzpatrick definitely, because like I said, he plays a good amount on the European Tour. He like won the Dubai in Dubai last year, which that's not like links golf, but that's European Tour, the culmination. And where Rory was like, I haven't played links golf in 2 years since the last British Open.
Right.
So it's everybody's a little bit different, but that was fascinating. Guys from Northern Ireland, like links golf city, played at Port Rush growing up. Him and McDowell used to mess around on the green when he was like 13, and he just never ever plays links golf. So it's very, it's interesting. Right.
And then like you're saying, a guy like JT, he's just an American kid.
Right.
Just, that yeah. You just don't play that ever.
It's also funny, like you think regionally that people just know about everything when they're from a place, right? Like Lee Westwood is English. He's from England. This course is in England. And they're asking him, like, and he's like, yeah, I'll be honest, till I got here this week, I didn't really remember anything from the course. Played it in two different British Opens, but I missed the cut both times, so I only have like four rounds of tournament. And I just didn't really even remember many of the holes of the course. And I'm just like,
right.
I just feel like that's like one of the British Open sites in England. There's only a couple, and he just, like, doesn't even know it.
Sometimes people ask me about corn, and I feel like I don't have enough information. Straight up. They think I know everything about corn, because I'm from Iowa.
I get it with the arch.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that arch? Like, I don't know.
It's the same with me with Italian food, or, like, anything Italian. Like, because I have an Italian restaurant, my family does. Like, during the dozen, like, Big Cat called me and my dad to ask us about an Italian dish.
Yeah.
And it was, like, such an obscure thing, and we were just like, we don't know. It's like, yeah, I just don't know everything about Italian food.
I grew up around corn, but I didn't study it. Right. I just saw a ton of it.
Yeah,
in the fields.
Right, it was surrounding you. You didn't know anything about it.
Is there anything stopping the United States or any area in the United States from replicating exactly St. Andrews, the old course? Is there anything about like the grass over there that's just, you can't replicate it here? Can you just
like
build
sand base? That's the issue. It's so hard to find sand-based terrain that's also like on the water, because that gets hard and compact and water drains right through it. And even like when it rains a shit ton in there, it's like firm and you could bounce the ball. We were talking about this, I remember, I think I was talking about Lurch or somebody yesterday, where when I was in St. Louis and then when I was at the bar with Eamon Lynch and I was talking about golf course architecture and shit. We don't know anything about that. We were kind of talking about links courses, and I was just saying it's hard to build a really good golf course in St. Louis because it's wet all the time.
Yeah.
And soaked, and the water doesn't go anywhere. Like, we have some of the Iowa the same way. We have like some of the best soil in the world that like holds water, so you can grow plants. And if you try to like punch and run a ball through it, it just goes splat and stops.
Right.
And it's just not that interesting because you have to fly everything aerially over there. And this is like what they found at Bandon Dunes, apparently what they found like up here, but it's not that many places in the country like Cabot. But like, it's just all sand underneath for like many, many feet. It's just sand. And when you have that, you can keep it firm and fast all the time,
mm-hmm.
and it gets, like, compact. And here, in most places, we just fucking don't have that.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's fair. Like, I think we're dumb Americans in the sense of saying, like, you definitely know, Lee would know that course in England. Like, we played with Kisner at Pinehurst, and he got there, and he was like, I don't even remember this course.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, like, the same way. It's just we associate, totally. Like, England with being, like, the small state where, like, people know everything about it.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case. It's
just
a
like
country.
The oldest country in the world.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What?
It's like, dude, I don't know anything about that area. Like, I don't know anything about Shinnecock. Like, I just, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, it's very true. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess, Frankie, it's just hard to replicate with that terrain. You have to do it differently. Like, parkland courses, you can't defend them with, like, cool bouncing fairways and pop bunkers because, like, the ball just stops when it lands. Right. So you have to put giant trees in and shit.
Yep. You know, when we were down in Melbourne, like,
yeah,
that was crazy right. How firm and fast.
That
that's
nuts.
All sand.
It was.
Like, that was insane.
Yeah.
Ball was bouncing up in the air.
Right, just kept rolling.
Remember
never
us
stopped.
Hitting bunker shots like in the middle of the green that just would take a 5 foot bounce in the air and trundle into the other bunker?
So yeah.
And you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Here?
Gotta hit it on the exact front of the green or else it's just not gonna stay.
So we had some interesting comments. Lee Westwood said that, and then I will give him credit too, because this course, which I didn't even know going in because it's been since 2011, and I was a golf nut then, but I wasn't paying attention as much as we are now. And in this course is very controversial. Like, a lot of people just don't like it, which you very rarely hear. Like, when they get to Wingfoot or whatever, everyone just raves about it. It's like yeah. This place. When they get to the old course, people are like, this is the best golf course in the world. You feel like you hear that most often. When they get here, everyone, like Brooks Koepka today, I was listening to his press conference. He's like, I don't like the course at all. And they're just like, all right. You know, like, what's the, he's like, yeah, I just don't like it. And Lee Westwood said, he goes, yeah, this time, because I played today with a couple guys that I really like, and he's like, this was the first time I really enjoyed myself out there. He's like, before, to be honest, I just wasn't that high on the course. I don't think it's, like, that great.
Did Brooks say anything specifically in that presser?
He just said he thinks it's gimmicky. And
okay,
guys have been working on this course for 10 years, just okay. like all excited to get the guys out there to test what they've been working on.
But again,
like,
you can't hate the honesty.
No, you cannot. But he's just like, man, I just did not like that golf course.
And it's crazy because it's not that rare. Like I've heard other people right. that are just like, eh, don't really like the course. And I think Westwood is going through a couple of the holes today. He said the very first fairway is a good example of like, he's like, I hit a good drive right down the middle, and it just bounded through the fairways, are like crowned fairways almost.
Everyone.
And it just bounded from the fairway into like brutal rough. And I was like, well, that kind of sucks.
Right. Yeah.
And so they just think, I guess it's kind of like gimmicky. And then it's very rare in Lynx golf too, I guess, because most of the greens out there are very flat. Like, Lurch, you've been over to Scotland.
Yep.
It's just got crazy undulations. Like, some of the greens look like wingfoot greens.
I saw one picture where it looked like a the green was on top of a mountain. From the base of it, it was really, really high. So, yeah, there are times where it almost looks like Mickey Mouse golf. Like, I would say that if I was walking that course and seeing those things. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's like a carnival ride.
I think that's kind of the feel, is that some of the guys are like, it's a little Mickey Mouse-y.
Yeah.
And if you go through the history of the winners there, too, it's kind of, like, notorious for having not big-name winners. Like, Greg Norman won. Outside of that, like, Darren Clark at age 42, like, broke through and won.
Yep.
And then a lot of the other names going back to, like, 81 are just names that like you wouldn't you're just kind of like, who won that now? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of known for that, and that kind of leads, I think, to the gimmicky stuff. But it's also interesting, Brooks Koepka, which this is something right in line with what we've talked about with him a lot, where he was like, you haven't picked up a club since the Travelers Championship 2 weeks ago. And they just were like, you're not practicing for the British Open? He's like, no, I haven't picked up a club, and I don't like the course.
Now that you said British Open too, did you see there was a presser with somebody from the RNA? Like, what are you calling this?
This was DJ.
No. This is some guy from the actual RNA, and they're like, do we call it the British Open? Or we call it the Open. And the guy was like, are you looking behind me? Because on like the backdrop of the presser, it just says the Open everywhere with no attachment to the British Open. Anyways, found that funny, but like. Brooks is, I mean, Dustin just get off it.
But just on that topic, he said, because I thought you were talking about the Dustin Johnson thing. They asked him, what do you call this tournament? What did you call this tournament growing up? Dustin Johnson said, British Open growing up, but now I call it the Open Championship. And they said, how come that changed? And he said, because that's the name of it.
And that's so DJ. Just like, I'm not going to touch the topic.
Yeah.
This is what people are calling it. This is what I'm calling it. I don't care.
Right.
Calling it the Open Championship.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Because now he just doesn't get any questions. There's no, like...
I got to be honest, because I think I went through a similar progression with the name of that tournament. I think I called it the British Open growing up for sure. Yeah. And then you get older and you're like, oh, it's just the Open.
I still go back. I just don't...
I don't like, jump don't on anybody who calls it one way or the other. Who cares? But I do think I call it the Open Championship now more than the British Open.
I a little bit like to chirp people that get mad about not calling it the Open.
Yeah.
Because you know where it comes from. Like, people called it... I saw somebody tweeted, was it Phil? Phil tweeted that, like, the Earl or Duke of, like, Scotland called it the British Open in, like, the 30s. And now I think they've just done a rebrand of, like, no, screw you, U.S. You can't just come in and call one the U.S. Open, the other one has to be a British Open. Like, we're the Open.
Yeah.
You guys are, like, the one that has to clarify which one you are.
Right, totally.
That's where it comes from.
Right, 100%.
And again, I get it. Fine, you guys have been older. We did the whole history thing last show. It was fun. But, like... Who cares? It's the British. Guess what? You like play it in Britain all the time. Like, it's
also like when a stadium changes their name, you just call it like the stadium that you grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of an example. There's a million of them.
I would say
there's hockey rinks that just like they have their name, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's this now.
Well, there was an arena in Cedar Rapids, and this isn't a famous one, obviously, but it was the Five Seasons Center when I grew up, and then it was the U.S. Cellular Center. Now it's like the Wells Fargo Arena, but everybody calls it the Five Seasons
Center.
Yeah.
Oh, like Joe
is
Louis.
Joe Louis is now, still Joe Louis?
Joe
or
Lewis
no?
is like the Little Caesars.
That's a really
good one. It has to be Joe Louis. Right. Right. I didn't even know it's changed. Right. That'll be Joe Louis.
But like
Joe
someone
Louis
would be like, it's actually called Little Caesars Arena. It's like, well, no, it's called the Joe.
Right.
Like,
that's just the Joe. That's
where's,
what it
where's
is.
That one?
Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rock City.
And the original Joe Louis. Do they still play the original or is it a new one?
It's a brand new one.
Is it? Because the original there was, they had no skyboxes. It was like just seats. And it was awesome.
Really cool.
And they had like, you know, the kind of the lightish gray stairs everywhere with just the red railings.
That's awesome.
And it was awesome. It was just the original
Nassau Coliseum.
Roman. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer in bed, ladies and gentlemen. Thinking about, I don't know, baseball. They put baseball in here as something boring that you would think about.
But I've said during these ad reads, and I stand by it, that – you shouldn't be thinking about other things during sex. I know that's the old trope about you should last. Here's how you last longer. You think about glaciers or Antarctica or your grandmother.
Riggs's asshole.
It's
that'll
might
do
help
it.
Actually.
If you
that will do it. This could
I
be
might
actually
fully ruin the moment, though. You know what I mean? You're
I think
trying
that's
to hold
what Trent's
off.
Getting to.
But that's what I mean. Like you're in something that's so great and awesome. You don't want to be thinking about something else. That's where Roman comes in. You can stay
that
in.
It really would ruin the moment.
Oh, boy.
You just walk
you're doing
right
the
out.
Sex, and you're just like, Riggs' asshole. Whoa.
She's like, baby, what are you thinking about? And you're like,
Riggs' asshole.
I think both parties just never talk to each other ever again. But with Roman, you can stay in the moment, think about the cool thing you're doing, and you can still last longer.
GetRoman.com/4. You get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/4. They're super easy to use. Take them out of the bucket, swipe them on, boom, you're good to go. That's GetRoman.com/4. You get your first month of swipes for just $5. Like Trent said, don't ruin the moment. Don't be thinking about something. You should be thinking about how cool it is and how lovely this experience is with your partner.
Yeah.
And enjoying it for a little bit longer so you're not considered some loser that came too quickly. GetRoman.com/4. You get your first month of swipes for just $5.
Brooks also had some comments about the Ryder Cup coming up and whether or not he'd want to play with Bryson. Did you guys see those?
Yeah.
He's really something.
Brooks?
Yeah. I actually have it right here. Let me read it. And they asked him about, like, what would happen if you got, like, if you guys play in the Ryder Cup together, what would that be like? He said, look, this is Brooks talking. So look, I can put anything aside for business. If we're going to be on the same team, I can deal with anybody in the world for a week. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be paired together. Put it that way. I think it's kind of obvious. Yeah, we're on the same team, but it's not an issue at all. That sounds like an issue. When he says, I can put anything aside for business, it's all about the team. It's going to be fine, but I'm not going to play with that fucking guy.
Because there's like a team room where people are playing ping pong. They're on like a flight together. They're in like, they go to like the gala together. They go to like all kinds of, they're a team.
And, like, at this point, if you trace this thing all the way back, which we've talked about it a million times, like, is that type of animosity really worthy of what the origin of this is? Like, we're talking about Ryder Cups, something that's very important that we want to win as a country. And we're still beefing over this thing that it's hit a few different points, but originally it was about slow play. And right. So now we've made it all the way now where we've got a Ryder Cup coming really soon, and we're still talking about this. To the point where he's like, yeah, I can put anything aside for business, but I refuse to fucking play with that guy. That's not what he said, but it's pretty much what he said.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it, like, locks up a Ryder Cup win if Stricker pairs them together and they win their match?
I think it'd go a long way.
It would, yeah.
Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine you pair the two of them together. They win, and they're, like, fist bumping, and everyone's like, well, look, if these fucking guys can come together as American dudes and win this golf match, we can do it.
Right.
But what? Yeah, I agree. And what Brooks is saying publicly, which everyone is going to read, we're going to talk about on this show, he's saying, I don't think we're going to be paired together, which is basically saying, I don't want to be paired with him. And that's a weird way to go into a Ryder Cup.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm in a weird place because I'm almost so down on Bryson with all this stuff over the last couple weeks that it makes me higher on Brooks.
I know.
It's like a seesaw.
Because then Bryson's response to all this when he gets asked the same question is, I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a good time. I think we'd work well together, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. It's just weird. I like the beef. I think it's been good for golf, and everybody's been saying that the whole time. But now it's getting to a point where he's going to, like, disrupt this whole thing, or they are going to disrupt this whole thing for, like, a reason that you almost forget the reason.
It does put you in a weird place where it's like we've been many times been like, this is great. This is what golf needs. You need rivalries. You need people to like be honest with each other. You need disdain out there. Everybody's not going to be friends. You got 200 people on tour or whatever. But then it's like this is getting like petty and kind of lame.
My only thing is that I don't know if all of this is worthy of that type of narrative.
True. True.
Like, I'm fine with them going back and forth at each other and, like, you know, him rolling his eyes when Bryson walks behind him during a tournament. But then to take it to a level where it's like, now we're going to make the Ryder Cup locker room awkward. That's weird.
How are they going to be on the same team? Dinners and celebrations. And
but he did say he's able to put it past him for the week, but he doesn't want to.
He said he can put anything aside for business, but then makes it clear that he doesn't think they're going to play together.
So then that's not putting aside, right? Like
if that's what I mean.
Right. The best thing was like his skill set, and they should play together. Then right. Like that's not putting it aside for the team. That's right. Saying it's a problem.
Right.
Those public comments are not putting it aside.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be in a picture together with, like, their respective girlfriends and stuff.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Weird. They hate each other.
And I agree.
Your punishment, or your your take is more that, like, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Like, in terms of, like, where what's been created between them
yeah.
is just, like, is was so petty, it's not worth Ryder Cup, like, interaction. But so yes. something more than has clearly taken place between well, the, yes, slow play start to where it is now for something like
that. It has escalated, and there's been different pockets of it, and it's a well-documented history. And maybe it has reached a point in Brooks's eyes that he's like, I can't play with that guy at the Ryder Cup. It just seems like all I'm saying is it's fun and it's interesting for the game of golf when it's just going back and forth and it's an individual sport and they're at these tournaments, maybe running into each other here and there. And then you get to the Ryder Cup and like, if it divides the locker room at the Ryder Cup, then it's like, well, this is really fucking stupid.
Right.
Very. Do you guys think I have to sleep on my stomach tonight?
Probably.
Oh, God. I would say
for a nice bath.
You think so?
Or I would sleep on a towel.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I mean?
I know. It's just uncomfortable.
Right? But it's probably the right.
Yeah.
Put a couple towels down.
Yeah.
Put some ice down there.
How do you normally sleep?
Freeze it up.
I mix it up.
You don't have like a... I'm a back sleeper.
Well, here's the situation is when I sleep is that I'm always fall asleep with the TV on.
Okay.
I just like to be watching something. So usually that means I'm kind of on my back. But then like at some point... Ideally, I flip over to my stomach, maybe hug a pillow, sleep like that.
I think the towels.
I think you're in for just a rough couple days. I don't know that.
Yeah, I'm trying.
What I saw today was, what's a problem? It's a problem.
But he's trying to get advice on how to work through it. I think correct. Towels.
Okay. Towels, yeah.
I just wrap myself in towels.
Like yeah. Like a diaper.
I mean, mm-hmm. The situation that you're in, yeah.
That's what I meant. I think it's all a problem. Right. So I have to address how you sleep, right. You got to fucking...
Like, I have to address it like it's a problem.
Yes.
Every like, just gonna be step fine. Of your
sleeping
life...
your stomach is not going to just like, put away the problem.
Okay, yeah. Right. Fair.
Yep.
Fair.
Oh, God. That's so bad.
Yeah, it sucks.
Trying to think if I saw any other quotes.
Here's another thing I saw from Brooks. That okay. From Bryson. That was very interesting. Was his animosity towards being confronted about not yelling four.
Oh, I missed that.
I missed that,
so
too.
So somebody asked him a very direct question about not yelling four. And his response was, I do shout four. I don't know what you're talking about.
See.
He's on TV.
Totally. And then he went and then he expanded further and said, I yell four like 99% of the time. And everyone's like, there's so footage.
There's the 1%. So endless, now we're talking about the 1%.
Endless footage from the U.S. Open of him aiming purposely right on the fourth hole, hitting it into the gallery, and picking up his tee instantly without yelling four because that's where he's trying to hit it.
There really isn't a guy that you can look at in this two-man thing where it's like, I definitely like this guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
I dislike both of them more.
It's an impossible task because Bryson says things like this when you just know that he's lying. There's video evidence of him lying.
Right, or is his take like so robotic where he's like, well, no, that was like where I was intending to hit the ball. Like,
so they should know?
They should know and they're in the wrong spot. Like, is he that, like,
I think so.
Out to lunch where it's like, no, actually, the fairway's to the left and you try to do something else and, like, remanage it and, like, the people stand there? So unless you want, I don't know, send your, you know, caddy, whoever it's going to be, to get up there and tell people to move, like, you're just hitting into them.
He's just a liar.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Right. 100% a lie.
Dude, what I... This fucking guy. What I don't understand is he could just be, like... You know what I did? Like honestly, when I hit it there, I'm so locked in the moment. I didn't realize it. It's a really bad look and a mistake. I hope everybody's all right. I'm gonna start yelling four more, and everybody be like, "All right, yeah, fair."
He right. does not have that in
dude,
him,
dude. No. He's so incapable of this stuff. It's
incapable.
Like, dude,
right?
We have footage of you doing that. Now you're just like a lying like psychopath. Basically, you come off like a psychopath,
right? Like, hey, I'm taking on different lines of this golf course that nobody else really does, and so. I should start yelling four. Maybe there's something where I can work with courses to say, hey, this is the way I play this hole. So when I do it.
Tell people watch out.
Right. Can we get people up there already that, you know, are in carts to say, hey, move back, move out of the area? Because, like, just be a human about it. But he just fundamentally can't.
You're sending a 200-mile-an-hour missile into a gallery of people.
That is true.
All the time. And right. Just not that's warning
true. Do that out of that context and you will be arrested.
Correct.
Every Instagram he puts, it's like breaking ball speed from like 205 to 206. Like he's bragging about
dude, if there was a crowd of people like coming out of a concert standing in a line. And then you grabbed like a golf ball sized rock and you wound up
electric
and just
chair.
Threw it at them. You'd be in
you're
prison
in trouble.
For years.
Yeah. You're in trouble.
You just can't do that.
The worst kind of trouble.
It's bad trouble.
You're like an international villain.
Right. Imagine if that was like some bad guy's stance.
Where and then if you they rock. Somehow got you to a podium with a microphone in front of your face and you said you didn't do it. And there was video of you doing it.
Dude, and then imagine if you just did that every 15 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. The glove doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Yeah, it's just like, no, I...
For like 4.5 hours, if you just did that every 15 minutes, and then you were like, what are you talking about? I don't do that.
Right.
That'd be crazy. That's nuts. So he just needs to yell for it. He's just driving everybody kind of crazy with this whole thing. I'm so out on him right now that I think we should change our logo.
Whoa.
I agree.
We've been talking about that for a while, but like...
This would be a perfect opportunity.
We've been talking about coming up with an alternative logo. This, I'm talking change the logo. Like,
it's gotta
from
be
him
changed.
To a different person. Because it's like based on him. It was funny. He was doing the drop with the hat and it was cool. I'm out on him.
Let's change it.
He's just driving me nuts.
Let's change the logo. No more Bryson.
Another something interesting I saw, this video about Jordan Spieth talking about his chipping.
Yeah.
So Brandel tweeted it, and he kind of, I think he overlaid, which is amazing technology from Brandel. I think he overlaid Spieth like answering a presser about his chipping over a bunch of footage of him and Phil chipping.
I watched it, yeah.
And he talked about how he puts cut spin, cuts every single chip he's ever hit. He cuts it. And he's like, even a bump and run, I cut it. And I use cut spin every single time. It's significantly more controllable. And he's like, and Phil actually came over to me one time and was talking through it and saying the same thing, that Phil like cuts every single chip he's ever hit, which is interesting because if you look at Tiger, Tiger's talked a lot about how like when he goes to Augusta, he needs to practice beforehand, like drawing some chips and cutting other chips to get him up on knobs. And Spieth and Phil were both just like, they're like, yeah, Spieth went in great detail about how he cuts every chip.
Huh. God.
What a different world. I'm just making contact.
So much more advanced than me.
It's a different level. Yeah. It's like a different game at that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if that's the most obvious.
We're just hoping that we get solid contact and land somewhere on the green. They're like, which way am I going to spin this?
Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about looking at the golf ball. That's something that I've been doing recently with chips. I feel like I don't stare at the golf ball enough.
It's like, how are you digging a little inside out? It's like,
I can't.
It's like, I just want to get that thing up.
It's outside
I mean,
it. It's outside
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, he's cutting like across it.
Right.
Super, it's interesting. Very, very interesting.
I just hit a covered trap, like a trap.
I just want to get on the green.
Yeah.
And then he was like, we can put some of the audio in, but he went into like, Phil was like, hey, I noticed you cover the ball on all your chips. And Spieth was like, I had never heard it phrased that way, but that actually makes a lot of sense. Where he's like, I drive the ball kind of down into the ground. And he's like, I even have always been like, he's like, I see other people nip them and all that. And he's like, I've always been a believer that, like, I even take divots.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt
you. They're doing the thing.
They're doing the thing. They're throwing golf balls
into
the rough. Todd
Lewis
was just throwing golf balls into the rough. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt what you were saying. But it was just, it's so great when they do that.
It's a rite of passage.
It really is.
A golf journalist at a major championship, that's either the PGA Championship, the United States Open, or the British Open. You must, at some point, grab a golf ball, drop it into the rough, take a video of it, and then put it out for the world.
You know that it was on their schedule too. Like, all right, you got interviews, and then we got to do a couple things here and there. But then we're going to take two golf balls and we're going to walk out there
the
and we're going to throw them in the rough.
And I'll be honest with you, I enjoy it.
I do too. I've come around on it.
I'm telling you, I've done it.
We made videos mocking it at Shinnecock. Remember, we had you hide in the rough, and then we were like trying to find you.
Worried I was going to get ticks, by the way, from that.
Yes, but now because we were making fun of it, obviously, because it's a funny thing, but. I've now come around on it where I like watching it.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get in there on that. Where'd that ball end up? What's that look like?
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it, but I also ruthlessly make fun of it. But it is a rite of passage. And I will say, when you're there on site and you're walking through it, it is almost impossible to resist the urge to give me a golf ball.
I got to put a golf ball.
Right,
that's rough.
And I got to get my phone out and I got to film it.
Yeah.
People won't believe it.
Shinnecock was also, I think, the first major, I could be wrong, that we had credentials at.
Oh, yeah.
So rite of passage again.
Couldn't believe we were there.
Couldn't believe that we were there with credentials.
Felt like we were in trouble. Like we stole somebody's ID and we broke into the U.S. Open and we were like there.
Right.
What's it? The par 3 11th we dropped a ball on it. Rolled like 100 yards off the front.
Yeah, it was violent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the chipping, the whole chipping thing, if you haven't seen that clip, Brandel Chambly tweeted it out. I highly recommend you go check it out because I found it very, very fascinating. I think it can help people's short game. Another thing that really helped, actually, is if you use the TaylorMade golf balls. So I'm holding before you, gentlemen, these TP5Xs.
Yeah, those are nice.
And we just got – you can actually go get these on our website, store.barstoolsports.com. But I have these TP5Xs, which have the Transfusion Barstool logo on them.
We're opening – you can hear us.
We're opening the boxes here. Yeah.
Look at that.
This is what we're going to be rocking.
Woo.
These things are hot. These things are absolutely sexy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And on this golf ball?
This logo just looks really good on this ball.
It's clean. It's small, which I love.
You we're all going to be using this today. We're going to need some marks on these.
Yeah. I think I might say, because I knew everybody's going to use them, I think I'm going to use my Jackrabbit South Dakota State Jackrabbit golf balls. I only got like five left, so I need to really cherish
them. We don't all have to use these. We can.
I'm going to use these.
I'm going to use these.
I think you're crazy not to. I think that's a very good idea.
That's a really good golf ball.
That's a very good idea. But TaylorMade, look, we've been TaylorMade athletes now since the very beginning of the year. We have our own link that you can go to, barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade. Sim 2. It's an absolute weapon. The P770 is the best irons I've ever seen. Lurch saw yesterday. I've never hit irons like I'm hitting these irons.
It's crazy how good you're hitting these things.
It's unbelievable.
Not missing?
I would say unbelievable.
Not missing. We had a fun match yesterday. It was actually a really enjoyable round of golf. But, like, the worst part about your game yesterday was putting. Usually Riggs is a phenomenal putter. Yeah. It wasn't just, like, line. It was more speed. He was blowing, like, a 30-foot, like, 15 to 20
feet. I'm uncomfortable.
You
didn't know what was going on.
It was crazy. But, like, he was clutching the golf ball. So we just had a very different match. Usually I hit it well and don't putt well. He does kind of the opposite. Flushing the golf ball.
Flushing it. And I'm telling you, it's these P770s, dude. I'm locked in with them, and they just feel so good. It comes off, like, penetrating but also high. It stays in the air for a while, lands soft. And my yardages are really consistent. So the irons, I know you guys got, I think, the P790s, a couple of you guys. They're just so good. They're so good. So you can go to TaylorMade. You go to barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade. We got our own landing page. And you can check out a lot of the options. But the wedges, the high-toe wedges, if you're trying to do a little cut spin thing that we were just talking about, high-toe wedges are perfect for that. TP5, TP5Xs are great. Tour response balls for people that want, like, the tour experience with the ball, but you don't want to spend as much. Those are fantastic. So just a big thanks to TaylorMade because they work really hard. We met a bunch of, like, their engineers and their people. They work so hard to just create the best equipment.
It's a great crew, yeah.
And they've done a great job, and it's very fun to use and play better golf.
You love them.
I love them.
I do, too.
I mean,
I just wanted to – if you were going to say it, I wanted to say it, too.
I love them,
and I love TaylorMade.
Mm-hmm. My change was from the 790s to the 770s. 790s are hot. Those things explode off the club face. I feel like now that I'm a little bit more dialed in, the consistency of depth in terms of, like, how far I hit each club is so much tighter with the 770s that I feel like I'm even more dialed into distances, which, you know, is awesome that you know, we're talking about trust and confidence. I got a lot of trust and confidence in my golf club.
Well, sometimes when I say that I have the P790s, people are like, because they look at me as, you know what they look at me like. They're like, you should get an iron that's a little more forgiving. But now I've grown into these
P790s. They're like, you should be using 9 hybrids. What are you doing?
They do. Some people do say that. But now, because my goal was when we got fitted at the Kingdom, I had the conversation with the fitter and said, I'm really trying to improve this year. And I know maybe the P790s are not as forgiving as I need right now. But now that my game is in a better place, I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. The snap when you hit it the right way.
Whew. Also, one of your favorite things in golf is hitting a low iron, like a 4-iron.
Well, my favorite thing is I want the ability to be able to hit those irons. And I have been hitting them much more consistently nowadays.
Golf's about having fun, and so if you're able to do it,
it's a little bit of both. But now that I'm in a better place with my game, the P790s are perfect.
They're awesome. You go to barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade. And check it out. Big thanks to TaylorMade. Great company. They put a lot of work in. They create the best stuff, and it makes everybody a better golfer. Gentlemen, I'm going to hit you with the forecast for the 149th Open Championship.
Okay.
You know, I jump around between calling it British Open and Open. This is from Ryan Labner at Golf Channel. Great guy. Great writer. He said, the Open forecast is delicious. Thursday, dry 25-mile-an-hour gusts.
Okay.
Friday, dry 25-mile-an-hour gusts. Saturday, dry 25-mile-an-hour gusts. Sunday, dry, 25-mile-an-hour gusts.
Oh, boy.
Delicious.
Wow. Four straight
crispies.
I'm going to say this. I think there's a chance we get an over-par winner this week.
Definitely. If we're talking about crown greens and the wind like that, it's just going to be brutal to hold anything on the green.
Yeah, the greens aren't crown. The fairways are crown.
Fairways.
Oh, well, Frankie was saying that he saw some greens that were just like there was a mound in the middle of the green.
Green was up on.
Oh, just like, elevated.
Yeah,
super elevated. Got it.
They just got big swales in there, but the a few of the fairways are crowned to the point where, like, you hit a great drive and it just kicks right into the rough and you're totally screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the greens have a ton of movement. It's going to be windy. And if it's dry, like, the biggest thing was that the fairways, they were watering them because they're actually trying to keep them a little bit more wet so that balls weren't just bounding into the rough and people were losing their minds. Whereas now, what, Trent?
I'm excited. The prospect of a over par winner makes me excited.
So excited.
Genuinely.
So hopefully if it's dry too, like, by the time we get to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like, the course is a little browner, a little bit more burned out. Balls are just bounding into terrible spots where, you know, it's like that classic British Open camera angle that you get where the ball lands in the fairway and you're like, they show the guy and he's like staring it down a little bit like nervous. You see it bounce once, bounces twice, yeah. bounces three times. Yeah. You're like, that's great. But you're like, ooh, that thing's moving. And then it goes through like some rough and then all of a sudden it just disappears into like some fescue and you're like, oh, how did that happen? Yep. He hit the fairway. That's what I want.
Totally. Exciting.
All week long, I want that.
Some early morning watching golf.
I hope there's that fairway bet on the book. Ooh, because if there is.
A lot of no's.
A lot of no's.
We shouldn't talk about that. Maybe they won't know about it.
I know. Maybe they're not smart enough to think like it's going to be really hard to hit at fairways.
Shit.
I think because they probably are.
I would say probably. No for every single one.
No.
Just no for every single one.
No. Bryson, no.
Oh.
Wait, that'll be great.
He's going to be blowing through fairways.
Right. He's going to be caddy's got two lines.
Oh, yeah.
They jumped in a pool together, so they're ready to go.
Yeah, totally. That's how you do it.
Man. Yeah, it's how you lock it up.
Man, weird. Oh,
man. Lock it up. I like Spieth this week.
Weird as well said. Honest.
Okay.
I love Spieth this week.
Okay.
I think Spieth is going to be my pick to win because, you know, I know we just talked about it. You don't love to pick winners. But Spieth is probably going to be my pick to win as I think he's like 20-1 or something.
Okay.
I just saw that video, and now I'm just all in on
it. I was going to say, you fell in love with that video.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always looking for something when you're trying to, you know, differentiate and pick somebody. So I saw that video, him chipping. I was like, done.
Rory said he found something in his swing, like in the range sessions he had, like post not making the cut, because now he's been able to be on property for longer, walk the course. And so he says he's found something in his swing in a small presser. It's like, I'm in.
It's amazing to hear a guy like him say that.
Yeah.
Just because that's something we say.
Right.
That's like Riggs with the chair sit.
Right, like he's found his swing.
It's just been his swing.
His swing has been locked up in like a closet that no one ever can like access. Like, his swing is found.
Rory had that swing when he was born.
So it looks identical.
Yeah. I like it though. I think I'm with Lurch.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I mean I'm big Rory.
Again, that's like, what you're always looking for something to differentiate. If that's what it is. Then that's what it is. But, but no. I'm for the record out on Rory this week.
Okay.
I just haven't loved what I saw. What I've seen. I hope I'm wrong because I love when Rory plays really well. I think it's awesome,
especially the Open. Like you want Rory to do well in it.
Always, like yeah, always. Totally. So I mean that would be great, but I'm just not that high on him. I'm high on Spieth, so that's pretty much all I got, boys.
Oh, here we go. Just a quick here thing. We've got the course is 22 yards shorter than 2011.
All right,
so keep that in mind.
Wow, that's interesting.
So keep
yard
that in
a hole.
Keep that
a little over a yard a hole.
A little over.
Yeah, I mean, all right.
There's not 22 holes on a golf course, Lish.
No, there's not. Your math is just off.
Fair
enough. So, but you know. Keep that in mind when you're watching.
That's just idiot math, for being honest.
Look at this guy's.
Oh!
Look at this guy's hair.
This is not great podcasting because we're watching TV.
They just panned like Howard Stern.
Who
the fuck?
Paul Larson. He's the head greenkeeper at Royal St. George.
Frankie,
I can't believe we didn't do it behind the greens with this
guy. That guy is my dream.
He would have driven your whole series, man.
Oh, my God. It's my
That's
dream.
Just Howard Stern. They panned to him.
What's his name?
Talking about the golf.
Paul Larson, I think.
Paul Larson.
Head greenskeeper. He's got a mop up there.
Boy. So, everybody enjoy the Open.
Like Bon Jovi, maybe he looks like, kind of.
I think Howard Stern's perfect.
Yes. Whew. So, that guy's the behind-the-scenes man, just getting this place ready to go. Enjoy the Open. I hope you have a better next 4 days than I'm going to.
Yeah.
For sure. And I hope, you know, what's happening to me, everyone's healthy and happy in that. Your bum holes aren't bleeding out.
Yikes.
Tighten those things up, people.
Kind of when I'm rooting for
Frankie thinks you should put ice on it tonight to tighten it up.
I think just maybe
ice
like
in a towel.
Putting ice. I was thinking more like you fill up the whole toilet bowl with just ice and you just sit on
this
it.
Is tough.
And you just cool it down.
That's a good close.
I would almost think it would make like a tss noise.
Yeah.
Oh, like sizzle up.
Yeah, melt the ice.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Woo. All
right.
Hit it hard, but like not too hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Yeah.